好，大家平安。
Good morning, everybody.
新年快乐
，Happy New Year.
对，那很高兴今天能够在这里一起过我们华人的新年。
I'm so happy today that we can gather here today to celebrate Chinese New Year.
Yeah, 那在开始之前，因为其实应该是主持人念经文。
Actually, it was supposed to be Robert reading the Bible verse.
但我们两个乡下人从来没有遇过有人翻译。
But we have never been translated before, neither of us.
所以他太紧张把整个经文忘记了。
But I think he's a bit too nervous that he forgot this part.
所以好不好我们大家一起来读这个经文，我们读中文就好，因为是中英的，好不好？
Okay, so I'm going to invite everyone to read it. You can read it in Chinese or English out loud.
好，那我们请那个经文。好，耶稣又说，
一个人
有两个儿子，
小儿子对父亲说：“父亲，请你把我应得的家业分给我。”他父亲就把产业分给他们。过不几日，小儿子就把他一切所有的收拾起来，往远方去了，在那里任意放荡，浪费货财。耗尽一切的所有的，又在那地方有大遭饥荒，就穷苦起来。于是去投靠那地方的一个人，那人打发他到田地里去放猪，他恨不得拿猪所吃的豆荚充饥，也没有人给他。他醒悟过来，就说：“我父亲有多少雇工有余，我倒在这里饿死吗？我要起来到我父亲那里去，向他说：父亲，我得罪了天，又得罪了你，从今以后我不配称为你的儿子，把我当作一个雇工吧。于是起来父亲那里去，相离还远，他父亲看见就动了慈心，跑去抱他的颈项，连连与他亲嘴。儿子说：父亲，我得罪了天，又得罪了你，从今以后我不配称为你的儿子。父亲却吩咐仆人说：把那上好的袍子快拿出来给他穿，把戒指戴在他的指头上，把鞋穿在他脚上，把那肥牛犊牵来宰了，我们可以吃喝快乐，因为我这儿子是死而复活，失而又得的。他们就快乐起来。
好，那这个 weekend 是华人的新年。
We know that we just had a weekend and it is the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, 然后在澳洲过华人新年其实气氛有一点不到。
I know in Australia it's nothing in compare to Asia.
但希望我们每一个人都能够在这里找到像家人一样的好朋友。
But it is my prayer that every one of us here can find our good friends,close as family here in Australia.
好不好跟你旁边的说
Oh, tell the person next to you.
新年快乐
Happy New Year.
好，过年是与家人团圆的日子。
So New Year is a time that we reunite and reunion with our family.
我还记得以前每一次过年都会跟老家亲戚吃饭，拿红包放鞭炮。
And when I was growing up, every time in Chinese New Year, our families, we would gather up to eat together, celebrate, and also have fireworks.
所以特别是那时候各地的亲戚就会回来。
And it was really good because our relatives who are far away, they will travel back to reunite.
很快乐，很快乐。
It's very fun.
所以能够回家团圆很棒，可是其实也不是那么容易。
To have the ability and the capacity to unite together, is great, but it also is difficult sometimes.
就像我出国30年，有机会在台湾跟家人过年，其实很少。
So I have actually moved overseas out of Taiwan for 30 years. And to be able to reunite with my family for Chinese New Year is not a lot, only a few times.
所以除了地理环境的限制，我们不容易与家人团圆。
There's a limitation geographically.
还有一种回家其实也是得来不易。
And another type of returning home that is difficult is...
所以好吧，让我们一起来看一个短剧。
We're going to watch this little skit of drama to find out.
我是缺处的一位大富豪，家财万贯。这整栋公寓全是我的，后面两个二十四小时照顾我。我吃的是山珍海味、龙虾鲍鱼，我身上穿的是 Giorgio Armani、Gucci， 还有Dolce & Gabbana， 全身都是名牌。我在江湖上混黑道、混白道，都是无人不知、无人不晓，大家看到我都叫我峰哥。但是，我生平有一个遗憾，那就是我的儿子在10年前，他跟我抢财产，他拿走了我一半的财产，然后就跟一个烂女人就不晓得跑到哪去了。我是很伤心、很生气，但是我更想念他，我的儿啊！这10年来。我天天在这里看着门口，就是等待着我的儿子，但是就是找不到他，等不着他。难道这是天意吗？如果说一切都是天意，一切都是命运，终究已注定。能来扶我一下。无情无爱，此生有何比？我的儿子啊，你到底在哪里？放开我！怎么听到一个声音？那是我，是谁？这不是我的儿子雨鹏，小鹏鹏吗？
给我，
小鹏鹏，小鹏鹏、啊！
爸爸，
爸爸，好想你啊、哎！你到底去哪里了？爸爸
你怎么会在这里呢？
爸爸，亲亲我！哎
呀，不要亲我，好臭啊！不要亲我，
真的是我的雨鹏、啊！
不要亲我、
啊！哎呀，
爸爸，不要亲我啊！
雨鹏，你在这里干什么？
我在跟这头臭猪在抢食物。他居然抢我的食物，这气死我了！
这头烂猪，你给我过来！来人呐、啊，把他送到我们家的厨房，今天晚上烤乳猪，实在是，雨鹏啊！
爸爸，你怎么会在这里啊？
雨鹏，赶快回家，回家当爸爸的儿子。
不行啊，爸爸，我不配当你的儿子。想当年我离开了你，我拿了你的财产，我现在沦落到这样的一个田地，我对不起你，我对不起天。我不会做你的儿子啊！
我管他的，反正你永远都是我的儿子。
感谢人，这是15年前我们小组演的戏。
So this was a drama that we filmed 15 years ago in our small groups.
那个主持人就是刚刚那个爸爸。
So the main character is the MC today.
所以那时候都很年轻，脸上都胶原蛋白。
We're all very young back then, and we have lots of collagen in our skin.
现在就是成熟稳重了。
We have gained some weight.
谢谢他们。
We really thank their performance.
那这个戏剧呢，其实演的就是刚刚我们读的那一段经文，《路加福音》15章。的现代夸大版。
So this drama is based and inspired by the scripture that we read earlier, Luke 15, but it's more exaggerated, it's modern background.
那经文里的父亲呢，代表的是我们的天父。
So the father in the story represent our heavenly father.
那浪子代表世人，也就是我们。
And the prodigal son is representing us.
所以透过这一段故事，耶稣要告诉我们天父多么的爱我们。
And through the story, Jesus is teaching us how much He, Heavenly Father, loved us.
所以首先我们看到天父照着我们本来的样子爱我们。
So the first point that we're talking about today is Heavenly Father loves us just as we are.
所以故事里的浪子他完全没有感恩的心。
So this lost son, he doesn't have a gratitude heart.
他觉得父亲赚的钱本来就是他应该得到的。
He has this entitled mindset. Oh, my father has money, it belongs to me.
所以他是应得的，他说我应得的。
He's entitled, it's my share, it's my right.
脸皮非常的厚。
He's very thick-skinned.
甚至等不到爸爸过世，就直接要求要分财产。
No, not even waiting until his father passed away. He demanded his share before his father passed.
所以十足就是一个不孝子。
So this is a son without honor.
就是如果你有这种孩子，就会觉得很后悔把他生下来的那一种孩子。
It's a type of son that if you had him, you're like, oh, I so regret having you.
而且分了财产以后，他马上拿钱走人。
In the moment that he got the share, he just left.
他完全不在乎父亲是否年纪大了。
He didn't care about whether or not he need to take care of his father.
或者家里有什么需要。
Or if there's any need in the home.
他不在乎。
He does not care.
然后出去不是为了好好投资光宗耀祖。
He got the money, he didn't go into investment or make his family proud.
而是去任意放荡，浪费他。
But he squandered the wealth and wasted everything away.
所以就从不孝子变成败家子。
So he was son without honor and then becoming a loser.
谢谢 Esther 哈，帮我画，真是超级好。
Thank you, Esther, for doing these paintings.
然后这个不孝子把家产败光以后
，So this dishonorable son wastes away all the wealth.
什么都没有了
，have nothing left.
他只能帮人养猪
，and then he ended up taking this job of feeding the pigs.
你要知道那时候的养猪跟现在不一样。
You know, keeping pigs, that job is a little bit different in our society.
因为犹太人是不吃猪肉的。
So the Israel background is they do not eat pork.
因为他们觉得猪肉，他们知道猪肉不洁净。
Because the pork is considered unclean.
只有外邦人吃。
So only the Gentiles eat these.
所以犹太人非常看不起养猪的。
So the Israelite people they look down at people who keeps pigs.
养猪对当时的以色列来说是最卑贱的工作。
It's considered the lowest of lowest jobs.
所以这个浪子沦落到社会的最低层做最卑贱的工作。
So we can see the lost son has become ended up being the lowest of lowest job.
而且穷困潦倒到肚子饿。
It was so poor and was starving.
他只能跟猪抢东西吃。
To the point that he was stealing the pigs' food.
而且人家还不给他。
And the owner even forbid him to do so.
也就是别人把他看得连猪都不如。
It's as if he's worth less than the pigs.
猪还可以拿来卖。
The pigs can be sold.
猪肉还可以吃。
The pig can be cooked.
但你是一个人，在别人的眼中却好像完全没有价值。
But he as a man has no worth, and according to the eyes of people.
我其实能体会浪子在猪圈的心情。
Actually, that feeling that the lost son has in the amongst the pigs, I can relate to that feeling.
我在台湾长大。
I grew up in Taiwan.
那时候觉得不管怎么努力
，and I feel no matter how hard I work,
就是一直不上不下。
I will never be outstanding, nor will I be bad.
前途很迷茫。
But I have I don't know my future.
后来移民去到新西兰。
And then we moved to New Zealand.
以为到了新的地方，很多旧的问题可以解决。
And I thought maybe in a new place, my old struggles will pass.
结果有没有解决呢
？But these didn't pass.
没有。
No.
不但没有。
Not only did the problem.
而且我还发现许多新的问题。
Not only that the old problem stayed, but I've encountered even more problem.
我以前在台湾觉得读书最重要。
In Taiwan, I have this mindset of if I study really well, that'sAll that's most important.
结果发现新西兰的学校没有要求学生会读书。
But I realized in New Zealand, the schools, they don't really, the school doesn't really care about you focusing on the academics.
但是很看重学生会不会音乐和美术。
They actually want you to be multi-talented, knowing art and knowing music.
而我钢琴弹得普通。
My piano is only average.
美术60分。
And my art is 60%.
过得很郁闷。
And so I was feeling very down.
后来遇到一个很喜欢的男生。
And I met a guy that I really like.
他就劈腿跟别人在一起。
But then he cheated on me.
那时候我真的觉得自己活得好没有价值。
So I felt I have no worth.
觉得自己虽然出国换了一个环境。
I feel like even though I move overseas in a new environment.
我以为我可以重新开始。
I thought maybe I can have a new start.
却还是一大堆的问题。
But then I have so much problems.
我不知道人生的意义到底是什么。
I don't know what is the purpose of life.
不知道活着为什么。
I don't know why I'm alive.
我觉得自己不值得别人爱。
I feel like I'm not worthy for someone to love me.
因为我连自己都不爱我自己。
Because I don't even love myself.
所以我非常的寂寞孤单。
So I was very lonely.
就即使在人群当中，却常常感觉只有自己一个人。
So even when I'm in amongst the crowd, I will still feel alone.
所以那时候就忧郁症。
So then I fall into depression.
那有一段时间我是睡在厕所的里面。
So there was a time, a period of time, actually live and sleep in the bathroom.
因为睡床上很麻烦，还要回来上厕所。
Because I feel like sleeping in the bedroom is too much effort because I have to use the bathroom.
所以干脆就睡在厕所里，不要动。
So I just was so drained that I just live and basically sleep in the bathroom.
非常非常忧郁。
Very depressed.
到人生最谷底。
When I was in my lowest valley,
我真的觉得。
I feel.
为什么我的人生会变成这样呢
？Why is my life like this?
好好一个人为什么会活成这样呢
How can a person be fallen into this kind of situation?
这就是浪子在猪圈的心情。
And I can feel like this is how the lost son felt in amongst with the pigs.
为什么人生会搞成这样呢
？How would a life end up being like this?
好像许多人也会遇到这样的光景。
Maybe a lot of us have encountered this.
纳闷为什么你的爱情婚姻会这样呢
？Asking myself, how did my marriage ended up being like this?
为什么我的家庭关系会这样呢
？How did my family relationship ended up being like this?
为什么我的学业、我的工作、我的健康、我的前途会这样呢
？Why is my study, my work, my future ended up being looking like this?
什么地方搞错了
？What's wrong?
或者你觉得你已经在澳洲了？
Or maybe you think I'm already in Australia.
你有工作有家庭，甚至你退休了。
I have family, I have work, or even I'm retired.
你在很好的生活环境。
I'm in actually a good lifestyle.
可是你却觉得难道只是这样吗
？But then you feel like there should be more.
难道人生就这样了
？Is life that's it? Is that it?
外表也许看不出来。
Maybe on the outside, no one can see.
可是你的内心却好像被困在一个无力的光景。
But you know inside that you are trapped and you are feeling weak.
你觉得闷闷的，可是你不知道问题出在哪里。
You feel like something is wrong, but you don't know what.
有没有可能问题不在我们的环境
？Can maybe the problem isn't your surrounding? Maybe
问题在我们的心里呢
？It is in our heart.
我们好像被捆住了一样。
Maybe we are bonded.
无力挣脱。
Don't have the ability to break through.
你也无法改变。
And you cannot change.
但我告诉你，你不是走投无路了。
But I want to tell you today,
你还有一条路，就是回家。
You are not hopeless, but you have one more option, and that is to return home.
回到天父的家。
Return to our heavenly Father's home.
所以我们看到这个浪子。
And today we see the lost son.
在人生的最低点。
In his lowest point of life,
他醒悟过来，决定要回家。
He suddenly wake up and he realized he should return home.
所以十七节他说
，So verse 17 it says,
我要起来到我父亲那里去，向他说，父亲，我得罪了天，又得罪了你。从今以后，我不配称为你的儿子，把我当做一个雇工吧。
So then he rise up and say, I must go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.
所以这个浪子决定回家。
So this lost son decided to go home.
他决定回家跟他父亲讲四句话。
And so he decided to go home and said to his father four things.
他说父亲我得罪了天。
He said, I have sinned against the heaven.
得罪了你。
I've sinned against you.
我不配称为你的儿子。
I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.
把我当做你的雇工吧。
Make me like one of your hired servants.
可是当他真的回家的时候，他说了什么
？But then when he actually returned to the home, what did he said?
我们来看一下。
Let's look at the verse.
父亲，我得罪天，又得罪你，我不配称为你的儿子。
The son said to the father, "I have sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son."
然后呢？
What happened?
然后就少了最后一句。
He didn't say his last point.
少了帮我当做一个雇工吧。
He didn't get to say, make me like one of your hired servants.
为什么少了这一句
？How come?
因为被父亲打断了。
Because he got interrupted by the father.
所以浪子还没讲到最后一句。
The son hasn't reached the fourth point yet.
他父亲就说
，and the father interrupted.
把那上好的袍子拿出来给他穿，把戒指戴指头上，把脚穿鞋子穿在他的脚上，把肥牛犊牵来宰了，我们吃喝快乐。
The father said, "Quick to the servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us have a feast and let us celebrate."
为什么父亲打断他
？Why did the father interrupt him?
因为这就是天父的心。
This is the Father's heart.
天父没有要我们回家当雇工当仆人。
The Father's heart never want us to return to be his slaves and servant.
雇工是做多少事就拿多少钱。
What are servants? Servants are what you do, you get paid for it.
做得好是应该。
If you do a good job, that's your job.
做不好就赶出去。
But if you do a bad job, you're fired.
因为天下没有白吃的午餐。
Because there's no such thing as free lunch under the sun.
回到天父家却不是雇工。
But returning to the Father's home, we are no longer servants.
而是儿子。
We are sons.
是回家享受天父白白的恩典。
To return back into the home and enjoy this free grace.
我们家三个小孩在我们家吃饭从来没有付钱的。
My three kids at home, every time they eat lunch, they didn't pay.
而且如果煮得不好吃还会挑剔。
And even if I cook not good, they will pickle me.
还叫我下次要进步一点。
And tell me to improve next time.
对他们来说，天下真的有白吃的午餐。
To them, there is such thing as free lunch under the sun.
那就是在家里。
And that is at home.
而且不止午餐白吃。
Not just free lunch,
连早餐、晚餐、点心、宵夜都是白吃。
But breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks, everything free.
他们不用做任何的事情来赚取。
They don't need to do anything to exchange the food.
就能在我们家白吃白喝白住。
They can live and eat and stay freely in the home without paying anything.
只因为他们有我儿女的身份。
Just because they have the identity of my child.
他们是我的孩子。
They are my children.
我们也是这样。
We are like that.
我们回天父的家是做孩子。
When we return to the Father's home, we are his children.
我们不能也不用去做什么来赚取孩子的身份。
We shouldn't and we don't need to do anything to earn the identity as his children.
我们唯一要做的就是回家。
The only thing we need to do is to come home.
回到天父的家。
Come home to the Father's house.
当你愿意回家的时候，天父说他完全接纳我们。
And when you're willing to return to the home, the Father says he's willing to accept us.
他照着我们本来的样子接纳我们。
Who we are, where we're at, he accepts us fully.
不管我们觉得自己有多糟糕，多失败。
No matter how much we think we're not worthy or how much of a failure we are,
他都接纳我们。
He accepts us.
就像这个浪子的爸爸不是说
Like this father,
他不是说儿子去洗干净，想办法把自己弄干净再回家，因为你臭得要命。
The father didn't say to the son, "Hey, go have a shower, clean yourself up before you return home."
不是
，No.
上帝没有说你去改好再来见我。
Or the father didn't say, "Oh, just break your change your habits, be better, then come back."
去解决你的问题再来见我。
To solve your own issue, then come back.
去搞清楚你为什么失败再来见我。
To find out why did you fail, then you come back.
没有。
No.
上帝说带着你的问题来。
Father said, bring, just come, just bring your problem with you.
带着你的麻烦来。
Bring your challenges with you.
带你的失败来。
Bring your failures with you.
带着你的忧郁不安来。
Bring your anxiety and your worry, just come.
他完全接纳。
I want to accept you fully.
而且他完全理解。
And I understand you fully.
他要帮助你。
And I want to help you.
因为他有极大的能力。
Because he has the ability.
他要使你在他的爱中经历改变。
To let you transform and change in His love.
所以就像这个小儿子一样。
So like the son.
在我生命的最谷底。
When I was in my lowest valley point.
走投无路，极度的悲伤忧郁的时候。
I was so much, there was so much sorrow and I was so depressed and I have nowhere to go.
我决定回天父的家。
I decided to return back to my heavenly father's home.
我哭着跟上帝说求你帮助我。
I cry and I cry out to God, say, God, help me.
如果你是真的求你帮助我。
If you are real, help me.
因为我真的真的很痛苦。
Because I am struggling.
然后我永远记得。
And I remember this.
有一天天气非常的阴暗。
In this dark and cloudy day.
所以虽然是白天可是却有非常厚的乌云。
It was during the day, but the cloud was so thick.
我完全看不到天空。
It was so dark, I cannot see the sky.
就像我当时的心情。
It was just like how my heart condition is like.
不管怎么样都开心不起来。
I can never make myself happy.
不管做什么都开心不起来。
No matter what I do, I cannot find joy.
非常的忧郁沮丧。
I was so depressed and so discouraged.
然后忽然
And suddenly,
我前面出现了一道光。
I saw a light shining through.
它穿透了那一片的乌云。
Through that dark, thick cloud.
而且就在我前面发生。
And just right in front of me.
我忽然感觉上帝在跟我说
And suddenly I feel God speaking to me.
他说他是穿透乌云的那一道光。
So I am that light that shines through the thick clouds.
他对我的爱永远不会改变。
That is my love to you that never changes.
其实我过去不要上帝。
In the past, I rejected God.
我觉得我靠自己就够了。
I said to myself, just I will do it myself.
可是上帝却告诉我。
But then God said to me,
他永远敞开双臂在等我回家。
Father God said to me, my arms are always open wide, welcoming you home.
从此我的生命不再一样。
Suddenly, that point onwards, my life has transformed.
我的忧郁症完全被上帝医治。
My depression got healed completely by God.
感谢主。
Praise God.
有时候你可能觉得自己的问题很大。
Sometimes you might feel that your challenge is so big.
上帝不可能帮助你。
And it feels like it's impossible for God to help.
好吧，让我们一起来看一个见证。
I want to share with you a testimony.
I was raised in a home that did not know Christ, but my parents raised me with very traditional Chinese values. Obey your parents, do well in school, and of course, practice piano. You see, I had a secret, though, that I kept hidden through high school, college, and even the Marine Corps reserves. But when I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and I started dental school, I no longer kept it a secret, and I lived openly as a homosexual.In the gay community. It was at that point that I decided to go home to Chicago and break the news to my parents, and I told them I am gay. This devastated my mother, who was not yet a Christian, and she actually had resolved to end her life. But praise God, God saved her through the word of a little pamphlet that shared with her that all of us are sinners, and yet in spite of our sin, the God of the universe still loves us.And God opened up the eyes of her heart to see that just as God can love her, she could love me in spite of the fact that I was living as a gay man. So my mother surrendered her life to Christ, and within a few months, my father did as well. Spending most of my free time in the gay clubs, I began experimenting with drugs. And this whole time, I tried to live this double life. I also began selling drugs.And I tried to live this double life of being a graduate student by day and a promiscuous drug dealer by night. But 4 months before I was to receive my doctorate, the administration expelled me. So I moved to the bright light to big city of Atlanta, Georgia. And there I quickly took over the drug scene in the gay community. And I became a supplier to other dealers in over a dozen states. In addition, it was nothing for me to have multiple anonymous sexual encounters each and every day.My parents had no idea that I was doing drugs or even selling drugs, but they knew my biggest need was to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my mother would try to reach out to me with the love of Christ, send me Christian cards every other day, fill them with paragraphs of scripture, and sign the bottom of it, love you forever, Mom. And I never read those cards and simply toss them in the trash.My parents one time flew to Atlanta to visit me, and after the second day, I kicked them out. My dad, though, before he left, wanted to give me something, and it was his very first Bible. He left it on my kitchen counter, and as soon as they left, I took his Bible, and I threw it in the trash can. I wanted nothing to do with God, and certainly nothing to do with the Bible. And after that visit, it was more than obvious to my parents that I was totally unreachable and completely hopeless. But my parents committed not to focus upon the hopelessness, but upon the promises of God. And along with over 100 prayer warriors, they began to cry out to God for me. My mother began to pray a very bold prayer, which was, God, do whatever it takes to bring this prodigal son to you. Whatever it takes.She fasted every Monday for 7 years and once fasted 39 days on my behalf. She would literally spend hours every morning in her prayer closet on her knees interceding on my behalf. She knew that it would take nothing short of a miracle to bring this prodigal son to the Father. And a miracle is exactly what God did. This miracle came one day with a bang on my door. I opened up my door, and on my front doorstep were 12 federal drug enforcement agents, Atlanta police, and two big German Shepherd dogs. I just received a large shipment of drugs, not my largest, but they confiscated all my money and my drugs, and I was charged with the street value equivalent of 9.1 tons of marijuana. With that amount, I was facing 10 years to life in federal prison. And so I tried calling home, and I dreaded making that phone call. But my mother's first words were, "Are you okay?" No condemnation, just words of unconditional love and grace. Romans 2:4 says that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And even on that miserable day, God was pouring out his grace and drawing me to himself through the words of my mother. Actually, my mom was excited to get that phone call, if you can believe it or not, because I hadn't called home in years, and she knew without a doubt that this was God's answer to her prayers. As she hung up that phone, she knew she had to do just as that good old hymn says, count your blessings, name them, one by one. She ripped off a little piece of adding machine tape and wrote down these first blessings. Christopher is in a safe place compared to before. And he called home for the very first time. As my years in prison passed, she kept adding to this list of blessings. And today, this list of blessings is longer and taller than she is. 3 days later, as I was walking around the cell block, I passed by a garbage can. And as I look at this garbage can, I realized that my life was so much like this garbage. I was now surrounded by common criminals, trash. And with my head down, I was about to pass by this garbage can, but something on top of that trash caught my eye. I bent over, I picked it up, and it was a Gideon's New Testament. I took that New Testament back to my cell. I opened up that good book and read through the entire Gospel of Mark that night. But let me be honest with you, I did not think that this was the answer to all my problems. I thought I've got an enormous amount of time on my hands and I better pass it somehow. But as many of you know, what we have here in this book is not just ink on paper. What we have here is the very breath of God. And it is living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, able to cut through the hardest of hearts, exposing my sin and my rebellion, and it wasn't a pretty sight, and I thought things could not get any worse. I was wrong. A couple weeks later, I was called into the nurse's office. I knew something wasn't right. She sat me down, uncomfortably struggling with the words. So she wrote something on a piece of paper, and she slowly slid it across the desk to me. I looked down at this piece of paper, and I saw three letters and a symbol. It read, HIV positive. The days after were dark and lonely. I was sentenced to 6 years, much better than 10 years to life. But news of my HIV status was like a death sentence. As I lay in my bunk one night, I looked up at the metal bed above me and I saw something scribbled. And it read, if you're bored, read Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. At the most hopeless point in my life, God used the words penned by a prophet thousands of years ago to a rebellious nation to tell me that regardless of who I was and what I had done in the past, he still had a plan for me. I had no idea where this plan was going to take me, but he gave me enough faith, enough strength to get through that one day and the next. My transformation was gradual, and God was convicting me of my dependencies. The most obvious was drugs, but he completely delivered me from that with a few months. But the last thing that I was holding on to was my sexuality. As I continue to read the scriptures, I realize that my identity should not be defined by my feelings or my sexuality. My identity is not gay or homosexual or even heterosexual for that matter, but my identity as a child of the living God must be in Jesus Christ alone. You see, God says, be holy, for I am holy. I had always thought that the opposite of homosexuality was heterosexuality, but I realized that the opposite of homosexuality is holiness. And God was telling me, don't focus upon your sexuality or your feelings, but focus upon living a life of holiness and living a life of purity. As I began living this life of obedience, God revealed His plan for my life, and He called me to full-time ministry while I was in prison. And so I called home collect to my parents, and I told them of my interest to go to Bible college and asked them to mail me an application to the only Bible college I had ever heard of in Chicago, called Moody Bible Institute. But there was silence on the other line because I think they both dropped their phones. They mailed me the application. I quickly filled it out till I got to the bottom where they asked me for references from people who knew me as a Christian for at least 1 year. The only people I could find was a prison chaplain, a prison guard, and another prison inmate to write my references to Moody Bible Institute. So the greatest miracle is that Moody actually accepted me. I was released from prison in July of 2001, started the very next month, graduated from Moody in 2005, went on to get my Master of Arts in Biblical Exegesis from Wheaton College Graduate School. I'm working on my doctorate from Bethel Seminary, and I just published a book with my mother called Out of a Far Country, and God has such a sense of humor, because now I'm back at Moody teaching in the Bible department. I went from prisoner to professor. The Word of God changes lives.